Our first reading is from
Isaiah 5, verses 1 to 7. You'll find that on page 689 in your church Bibles. The Song of the Vineyard. I will sing for the one I love, a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest of vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a winepress as well. Then he looked for a good crop of grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now, you dwellers in Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I'm going to do with my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall, and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. Thanks be to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 to 17, and it's on page 1083 of the Church Bible. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And please be seated, everyone. Let's turn back to John 15 in our Bibles. And we'll find there that it is on page 1083. page 1083 of the Church Bible. The details of this new series are on this little card. You'll see that on the table at the back with the readings for the Sundays. Take one away, pop it on your fridge, and helps us prepare for a Sunday if we have a little read through before we get started. So the hours are ticking by. Time is running out. One last night together, that's all they've got left. Jesus and his friends have shared a meal in the upper room. He's washed their feet, he's broken bread. The conversation around the table has already been heavy and intense. In the mind of the disciples, those painful thoughts of loss as the reality of the cross comes into view. Jesus has been their mentor, their leader, their teacher, and their guide. And soon, very soon, that's all about to end. What will they do when he's no longer with them? How will they cope when he's not around to lead them anymore? And how will Jesus bring comfort and hope into this situation, this last night? Well, he talks about a vine. And he talks about some branches, and he talks about a vital connection between the two that will enable good fruit to grow. He's describing the arrangements that the Father has made for the work of these now 11 disciples to continue and to flourish, even in the absence of Jesus amongst them. When he's no longer physically by their side, the way he simply explains it, remain in me. At first hearing, that might seem like Jesus is just talking nonsense. How can we remain in you, Jesus, when you're not going to be around anymore? Well, that's why Jesus explains it in these terms, this vital connection, a spiritual connection that he's going to establish between him, he, and them. He'll be the vine, they'll be the branches, and deeply rooted in Jesus means they can still bear fruit in his name. Jesus is speaking here as he and the disciples, they make their way through the streets of Jerusalem. They have left the upper room now and are moving towards the Garden of Gethsemane. Some people think these things could have been said as they stood or passed by the temple. The Jerusalem temple, historical evidence says, yes, there was a great golden vine sort of chiseled into the archway above the door. Maybe that just brought this to Jesus' mind as he passed by. Well, whatever the specific setting, the idea of a vine won't have gone unnoticed by the 11 anyway. More than that, these verses speak of change, comparing how things used to be to how things will be now going forwards, like a pivot or transition. Things were like this, says Jesus, and they're now going to be like this for us. Let's have a look at those together. Here's the first one, from religion to relationship. But this isn't the first time in the Bible that we've come across vines and branches. It's mentioned in Psalm 80. God's people are there described as the vine that God brought out of Egypt. They're his special people. And he's rescued them in that way. We heard earlier in Isaiah chapter 5, again, the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. God's people are a vine. And so up to this point in Bible history, the vine has represented the people of God. You see, that's why they had it carved over the temple doorway. And up to now, that temple has been the home, the place, the centre of religious life, the place that you would go to meet with God up to now, the place of prayer, the place of sacrifice. All religious life was here. But you see what's happening? As Jesus and his friends look up at the golden vine, Jesus stands there with them and he says, "I am the true vine." He's pointing them away from the temple and to himself. You see the shift? They were, but now I am, says Jesus. The focus of God's work on earth is changing from religion in the temple to relationship with Jesus Christ. All that the temple was, all that it represents now being fulfilled and embodied in the life of Jesus, the life and death of his Son. And let's hear again. Look with me, verse number 1. Just to recap, Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Jesus describes just four elements here. We've got a vine, we've got some branches, we've got a gardener, and we've got some fruit. Jesus, the vine, the Father is the gardener. We're the branches, says Jesus. And the gardener seems to be pretty clear in his desired outcome here. He wants that vine to be fruitful. That's what he wants to see. And to that end, the gardener is determined to do his work on the vine. Two things he speaks about, lopping off and pruning. The gardener is going to cut off and he's going to cultivate. Now, you know, I'm not much of a gardener, really. But when we moved into our apartment, we discovered we had what we thought was a lemon tree there. It was rather buried under, so it's in there somewhere, sort of buried under the overgrown bits and pieces all around it. It wasn't doing so well. Certainly no sign of any lemons. Not enough water, probably not enough light. And last year it produced just one little lemon. But, you know, bringing it out from under all of that, chopping off some dead bits, giving it some plant food and lots of water, leaving it out in the sunshine, suddenly the tree has come back to life. Same tree, different conditions, and now lemons all over the place, too many to count. Branches in the vine that are lifeless and fruitless, says Jesus, will be lopped off and thrown away, because a dead branch is a useless branch, no longer serving the gardener's purposes. But look, even the fruitful branches don't escape the gardener's loving care. Branches that bear fruit are pruned, he says, so that they may be even more fruitful. So I hope you're with me so far. We're sort of getting the picture of what's going on here, the work of the Father in the world, to attend to his vine, lopping off the dead bits and pruning the live bits, encouraging more fruitful growth. What's the key to this for us? What do we need to do? Make sure you remain in Jesus. It comes 11 times in just 7 verses here. The word remain, the word abide in the old version, remain in me, says Jesus. Stay connected to this vine which gives life to the branches. Keep connected to the vine that brings goodness and health to the leaves and to the fruit. And Jesus sort of puts it around the other way as well. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, it's all about this vital connection. If we lose it, nothing will grow. But if we're with it, then everything can happen. It's a vital connection. The end of religion and the start of relationship. Not about our connection to a particular church or denomination. Not about our connection to a particular vicar or minister or even a chaplain. It's about our connection to Jesus. That's where the source of all spiritual goodness is going to come in the end. Knowing Jesus as our Lord and our Saviour. And connected to Jesus in this spiritual way, all his goodness and life can flow into us and through us. Remain in me, says Jesus, and I will remain in you. Of course, I guess this is where these verses start to make us think. What does it mean to remain? And who are these branches that the Father is apparently lopping off? Well, right through the life of Jesus, through his earthly ministry, one thing has become clear is that not all his disciples are true disciples. Not all of his believers are true believers. Jesus warned people over and over again to put all of their eggs in his basket. And he warned people, like on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, watch out for false prophets. wolves in sheep's clothing. And what was the test between the true and the false? He said, by their fruit you will know them. Look at the branch. Is it bearing fruit for Jesus? In the end, none of us want to become a dead and fruitless branch. And so how do we abide? How do we keep this connection alive? Well, remember, relationship over religion. Knowing Jesus through his word and in our prayer to him. Our lives and his life brought together and bound together and then kept together by the life-giving Spirit of God who sort of binds it all up and keeps that connection alive. Discovering for ourselves this deep dependence on Jesus, remaining in him, and he promises likewise to remain in us. So let me ask you this morning, do you know that relationship? Is that the relationship with Jesus that you know for yourself? I hope you do. I hope you'll know what it is to hear Jesus speak to you by his word and by his spirit. I hope you know what it is to speak to Jesus in prayer, to set aside some time each day to listen, to pray, just simply to abide in him, to sit and to think and to pray. Maybe if this hasn't been your habit up to now, make use of some of those resources that we sent out this week. Leaning into Lent, in the end, it actually means leaning into Jesus, doesn't it? That's really what it's about, relationship with him. It's the heart of our abiding, the heart of our remaining. That's not to say that following Jesus is always going to be straightforward or easygoing. Remember the pruning that Claire was telling us about earlier. We don't need to be living the Christian life very long to feel and know the Father's work in our lives. That pruning comes from God as loving care for his vine, always with a purpose. The purpose, or the Father's desire, that we would be more fruitful for him. But that doesn't mean his pruning will ever be pain-free or comfortable for us. It was C.S. Lewis who observed that God whispers in our pleasures, but he shouts in our pains. The pruning of our Father might well find its outworking in some kind of disappointment, some discouragement, some delay when God says no or not yet. What's the answer? Well, just as diamonds grow under pressure, so fruit comes through pruning. And in these difficult days, difficult seasons that we might face or might be in even right now, lean into Jesus. Let him be your supply. Depend on him more and more. Such a long way from any kind of religion, isn't it? It's about relating to Jesus day by day. Well, the next shift takes us deeper into Jesus, shows us the outworking of this connection, what happens when we stay abiding, from following to abiding. The role of the 11 is about to change dramatically in itself. For these last few years, you see, following has been their default. Jesus has given them a strong and compelling lead. Every significant encounter, he's been the one up front, doing the talking, doing the teaching, doing everything else. And so it's worked out like this. He leads and they follow. He heals and they watch on and wonder. He teaches and they do the learning. And in a few hours' time, that's all about to change. He won't be around for them to follow like that. He won't be around to teach them like that. And so for them, it's time to stop following and start abiding. At the very point that Jesus leaves them, he's cementing them together in this new way, bringing it closer, bringing it more personal, more intimate. The other side of the cross, the disciples are going to need Jesus more than ever. Again, look at verse 4. He says, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. It's amazing, isn't it, that Jesus should be encouraging his friends like that, making them this promise. The fruit that the Father desires is the natural outworking of that union when it is solid and working well. We've said already, fruit is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual gift, the fruit of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And two are mentioned here specifically. We have the fruit of love, and we have the fruit of joy. Look further down the reading, verse 9. Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed the Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you." See there, the fruit of love and the fruit of joy. It's what that connection produces as we stay abiding in Jesus. So we get beautifully drawn into the eternal love between the Father and the Son. And that's a love, Jesus says, that emerges through our obedience to him. As Jesus was obedient to his Father, so he encourages us to be obedient to him. And so as we walk the Jesus walk and as we talk the Jesus talk, so his love becomes our love. Jesus lived in such a way as to never disappoint his Father, never let his Father down. He did nothing to upset or spoil the mutual love between them. And our abiding in Jesus, well, it means sharing in that kind of love, in an obedience that comes from faith, producing that fruit of love in our lives. And in just the same way, we get beautifully drawn into this eternal joy between Father and Son. Do you see that? There's nothing more joyful in the universe than the joy between Father and Son in the eternal Trinity. The holy, life-giving, joy-filled Father, Son, and Spirit. And abiding in Jesus means us being drawn up and sharing in that joy. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? All that love, all that joy, the best love and the best joy that we could ever know. And indeed, as it ripples out through our community, this place must ought to be the most loving and the most joyful bit in the entire of Cannes. Sunday morning, as we gather together, the love and the joy, they should be tangible amongst us. It's more than a picture. This is the experience, can be the reality for each of us as we come to Jesus and abide in him, letting him fill us, sustain us with all of his love and all of his joy. And again, I hope this is a love and a joy that you know personally. I hope so. Jesus shows us and encourages us, look, stay with me and you'll get more of this. More fruit. And so for you, if Jesus today feels a bit sort of out there, a bit distant, a bit a long way off, just bring him close. Why not use Lent to bring Jesus close? Bring him in. Bring him into your heart. And then flowing out from that personal encounter into the life of the church family, into the life of the wider community. Don't just love Jesus, he said, love each other. That command comes twice in the reading, verse 12, verse 17. Not a lot optional extra for us. Even people who are sometimes a little difficult to love, he says, no, love each other as I have loved you. The fruit of love, the fruit of joy become defining characteristics for the Christian community, the gathered church. Finally then, what's the third shift? Well, it takes us deeper still. To a place of privilege at the feet of Jesus. It comes in verse 13. We read there, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you." Again, see the shift. I no longer call you servants, but friends. What's the difference? Well, servants obey while friends share. Servants work for their master. Friends work with their master. Servants act out of duty while friends act out of love. And friends of Jesus gain this incredible access to the plans and the purposes of the Godhead, let into the inner circle privy to the workings of Father, Son, and Spirit. Everything that Jesus has learned from his Father, he says, he has made known to you, his friends. Nothing kept back. You know it all. And again, this friendship, it's not an idea. It's a reality. Friends with Jesus. That's who we are. A reality for God's people. A friendship that draws us ever closer into the life of the Holy Trinity. Father, Son, and Spirit, to the greatest love, the greatest joy that we could know. Saved by Jesus as he laid down his life for his friends. A hymn written a long time ago put it like this: what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Because as our friend, he wants to hear from us. He wants to know what's going on in our lives. He wants to spend time with us as we want to spend time with him. That is the reality of this one last night. 11 frightened men walking through the streets of Jerusalem. They can't possibly know how dark tomorrow is going to be. And yet already the safe and familiar is like slipping away from under their feet. And into that fear, Jesus speaks words of comfort. Three extraordinary shifts from religion to relationship, from following to abiding, from servants to friends, and the invitation wonderfully clear: remain in me, stay close, says Jesus, stay connected, don't depart. For some of us, yes, that might mean getting back to basics, opening the Bible once again, saying our prayers once again, speaking to Jesus once again, letting his words fill our lives, our days. And for others, it might mean trusting him through a season of pruning, believing the Father's hand is never careless, it's always kind and for our good. For all of us, knowing that Jesus is not out there, he's here. He's close, closer than breath. He's the vine, we're the branches. Remain in me, and I will remain in you, says Jesus. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Let me pray as we sit and think. Lord God,